Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tonight on The Bachelor, a recap of the first Bachelor season aired in 2002. Why was everyone so much uglier then?
Then,
Alex Michelle took Shannon's hand and sent her home. Was she as creeped out by him as we are? Plus, Cassie doesn't tell us anything about her breakup. Maybe Colton is the one who cut things off. All that and more. It's our most dramatic episode ever. This is The Bachelor.
Hello and welcome to the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
And I'm Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
I almost said I'm Fat Carrie Bradshaw. I was like, I'm Kay York City.
I would have completely gone along with it.
And you would have introduced yourself as me. We're back from another quarantine Bachelor episode. Sorry we're a day late, but We had to take that Monday off, you know?
We had to. It's 3 hours every Monday. Listen, and the office was closed. I mean, you know, the virtual office was closed on Monday.
Exactly. How did you spend your weekend? What did you do this past weekend? Anything?
What did I do? No, nothing. I mean, I'm still, like, at my parents', so I saw, like, aunts and uncles various times throughout the weekend, and then Monday... What did I do? I don't know. Nothing that exciting.
Got drunk?
I got kind of drunk. But again, I was like, you know, not with people. So I got like wine drunk like I do every day, but not like...
Yeah, crazy.
Like living my life drunk. How did you get living your life drunk?
Well, I was with Taylor and her family and like her very close... Her roommate, Sophie, who also came out. So I was with Taylor's family. And Taylor's, she's a coworker at Betcha. She hosts the Let Me Finish podcast, give a little context for you. But I was with her family this weekend out in Jersey because I was like, I got to get out of the city.
Yeah.
I can't. Apparently the fireworks, as you guys know, I've been dealing with these fireworks every night. And apparently they were obviously insane on the 4th of July. As
oh,
you would
I can't imagine.
Yeah. So I was like, I can't be here. So I went out and hung out with her family. She lives like in Ocean City, Jersey, and it was like near the beach. And so we like went out to the beach, and there's so many beaches in Jersey that there was like nobody around. There really wasn't. We were at least 100 feet from everybody, which was incredible because I was very nervous about going out there anyways. But we did that, and like, but her and Sophie, they're, you know, like 24 years old and they're ready to start drinking at like 11, but which I mean, I can do like an 11:30, like, yes, let's do like a mimosa something, but it was like 9 a.m. and Sophie was pouring vodka into like glasses. I was like, this.
Yeah. My days. See, I can no longer do a day into evening drinking. Like if I start in the morning, I'm gotta be in bed by like 7, and there's no
have to be.
There's no
in between.
Like, you know those people that are like, okay, I'm just gonna take a nap and then I'll meet you guys at the bar? Absolutely not. Even when I was like 22, I would be like, okay, I'm just gonna take a nap, then I'll meet you guys out, and I knew full well I was never coming back.
Also, when you take naps after day drinking, like, you feel like shit when you wake up because it's it's like a hangover. So you're so exhausted and you feel like gross. Like the last thing you want to do is get up and go somewhere else to drink more.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I'm actually, I think, going to Ocean City, Maryland this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
For like the same situation. My friend's dad has like a place on the beach and he hasn't been there this whole time. So we're just like going to go stay in his house until for the weekend and just whatever. But I'm like, yeah, the day drinking, I like can't. I'm like,
can't be doing
mama
that.
Needs her 8 hours of sleep.
Me too. I literally, our last night there, we went and got lunch, but it started pouring down rain. And so we went back and we had like a few drinks at our place, and like we had started early in the morning again. And so at like 7, right after I got done eating dinner, I went upstairs. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to like take off my makeup and stuff. I was like, I'm just going to like get comfy. And then I went to lay down. I'm telling you, I wanted to lay down for like 5 minutes. And I woke up at like 11:30, like completely disoriented. I was like, where am I? Where, like, whose house is this? Like, what time is it? What year is it? It was insane. But they let me sleep. So shout out to them.
Yeah, see, I'm always that friend. I'm like, let them sleep, because if they're sleeping, then I can also go sleep.
I can also take what I need to, like, do what I need to do.
Yeah, amen.
Okay, so really quick, if you guys are not following us, make sure you are on Instagram at The Bachelor and on Twitter at Bachelor Pod. This week we did take a week off from live tweeting and memeing, but we will be back whenever The Bachelor comes. Okay, so Chris Harrison at the end said that they'll be back in 2 weeks. So I guess they're taking next week off.
Okay, the schedule with Bachelor is always so confusing and like elusive.
Yeah, they never let you know like exactly what day the season's going to start, or I think so they can keep it.
Yeah, exactly.
On their own schedule.
But then, I'm like, you can't do that to us.
They also do that with like holidays and stuff. Like some holidays they don't have an episode, and some holidays they do.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. But I guess when you're the ABC cash cow,
you're able to rake that in and do whatever you want. So we'll be back next week regardless, but the topic is TBD.
Yes.
We are also having a new episode of The Feeling is Virtual coming out tomorrow on Thursday, July 9th.
Yes. We
have another group date.
Yes, down to the final four after this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. So we have another group date. I'm excited for you guys to see it. And at the end of the group date, I pick one person to take on a one-on-one that'll happen next week on Instagram Live. And next week, you guys will actually be able to vote yourselves, because out of the last four guys, I will be picking the guy that I want to go on a one-on-one date with. But the other three guys that are left, you'll get to choose who I get to go on a bonus one-on-one date with. So,
hey.
I know. Super excited to see who they choose.
You guys, the stakes are getting like pretty high. Like when we first started doing this, I was like, I'm going to feel nothing about cutting these people, because Kay and I have like a little meeting before she, I'm the Chris Harrison, if you will.
Yeah, he's the Chris Harrison.
And so we have a little meeting, and it's kind of sad to watch them be cut away one by one.
I know. And like, Chris and I will talk like in the like little deliberation, like after we have the date, Chris and I, and then Deanna, our other producer, will, we go behind the scenes and talk about like who I want to send home and who I want to keep. And it really is hard. And Chris,
and you can hear them talking about how nervous they are, because we like mute ourselves.
I know. And Chris is like, I can't watch. And so I'm sitting here having to like break their hearts, knowing that they are going to get hung up on in a matter of seconds.
You know, I literally haven't watched any of them get cut. I'll pull up another internet browser and put it over the face of the guys so that I don't have to see their reaction.
This most recent one, which we won't tell you who it was, it took Deanna a little bit too long to make the cut. And I was like staring at him, and I was like, okay, are we going to hang up on him, or like, what's up?
Yeah, it's so, so anyway, guys, it's a great episode.
Yes. Make sure you tune in tomorrow, Thursday, July 9th for the newest episode. And for the viewer's choice, you'll be able to pick as well.
Imagine you're in the Bachelor Mansion. How would you stand out from all the rest and secure that coveted rose? Maybe it's a quirky and memorable introduction or crushing it at flag football. But what about a delicious smelling perfume mist that'll make you impossible to forget? Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Their fragrances are unique, complex, and turn heads. I love the smell of Sol de Janeiro. And I'm sitting here with Cheirosa 62 perfume mist and Cheirosa 59 perfume mist. Both of them are equally great. Cheirosa 62 perfume mist is an iconic, warm, and sunny fragrance that takes you to a forever kind of summer. It's beautiful. It smells great. It takes you to a place. And then there's Cheirosa 68 perfume mist with notes of salted ocean air and luscious florals. It's all great. You know, the word delicious is correct. It makes a statement. You're going to love Sol de Janeiro. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code BECHELOR10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code BECHELOR10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code BECHELOR10.
But let's dive into this two nights ago's episode of The Bachelor, which we did. They did two. They took us all the way back to the first Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Yeah, it's crazy the leaps and bounds we've made in production quality over the years. I'll say that.
Wow. I mean, it really, I guess, so it's been 18 years, so it's, this was taken back. Alex Michelle's was taken back in 2002. Like, that's when it was filmed. I mean, 2002, that is, I was in seventh grade.
Yeah, I was in sixth grade. That makes sense.
I mean, like, that is crazy that this has been going on that long, because seventh grade seems like a million years to me. The fact that I've been around for 18 years past that.
Oh yeah, it's crazy that our life, it's been more than double. Like we've lived less time without the Bachelor franchise than we have with it.
Right.
But it's also crazy to me, like 2002, that was also the years of like Friends and stuff. So the production quality, I'm like, did not have to be that bad. But I'm assuming no. The budget was also way less back then.
Budget was way lower. The hair, the makeup, the lack of eyebrows. I mean, it was amazing.
It was something. The hair was definitely something. I will say Trista, when she does her favorite look, was like the pulled back like bun with the two...
like bang strands, like the two wispy strands.
And I was like, that look, I'm like, kind of, it's kind of like TLC.
Also still around.
Yeah, I'm like, it's back and I'm here for it.
That is a timeless, timeless look. The two bangs, like strings of bangs in front of your face. But so the first Bachelor was Alex, and he was 31. He had like, he went to Stanford, had a business degree.
Yeah.
I mean,
went to Harvard and Stanford, right? They like said both,
oh
I think.
Oh my God. I don't know. I'm probably. But that to me is, I mean, he seemed like he had it all, though he wasn't that hot.
He was not that hot, but also I feel like all the girls that they talk to look much better now. I think it was just like the style, the filters,
the period,
everything happening. Because all the girls now, I'm like, you look so much better now.
I just think we need it. I mean, that's also how it is with like our generation and like the generation right below us. Like Gen Z, they're all gorge in middle school. They're in like fifth grade, like with full like makeup and hair. I mean, gorgeous. Looking
yeah,
great.
Well, the Jenners have ruined everything.
I mean, ruined everything. And so you think, look back at us like, man, if we just had a little
because
bit of time.
They also have grown up since the time they were like infants with access to Instagram and all of that. Like that didn't become a thing for us until like late high school. So we weren't comparing ourselves as much too.
Right. And we were just also relying on like magazines like Teen Pop or whatever.
Yeah.
On like telling us what to wear in like Ardelia's magazine. Like, that's what we were going. That was what we were basing all of our like looks and everything on, was whatever the models in the magazine were wearing, not necessarily everybody on Instagram and on the internet, because we didn't have that.
It was certainly Rhonda. Okay, let me get into Rhonda.
Yes, please.
This is the thing. The first rose ceremony, I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Her hair is like
a disaster.
Everybody disaster.
Everybody looks so much like older.
Much older than they are. And even when they showed Rhonda, I'm like, she looks 10 years younger here than she did on the show.
Right.
But Rhonda was kind of iconic for the first season. What a trailblazer. She like did not.
No holds bar.
Did not give in to anything he wanted. Was kind of mean to him the whole time.
Yeah.
And then when she left, shook his hand. I was like, holy shit, this girl was ahead of her time.
And then she was the one who had the panic attack at the end, right? Or the asthma attack, because she thought she was having an asthma attack, but she didn't want to cry on camera.
Yes. And then she was like, I guess that they had time off camera. That's why she was so devastated.
Which I think that's something that I wonder how that works now, like if they're still getting like the off camera time and you know, those moments that we don't see. So when these people do get sent home, are they overreacting, or do they really feel like bamboozled?
I feel like now there can't be that much off camera time, just because the bad stuff happened. Like they would not want to like give that up.
No. I mean, they can't even break up off camera at this point.
Yeah, they can't do anything, I think, off camera. And I'm assuming there's, like, producers that are, like, up all night to ensure that nobody's, like, sneaking around.
Uh-huh, exactly. But, you know, I understand the not wanting to cry on national TV. I bet, like, having to go through all of that is, like, think about knowing that you're going to cry and knowing that everybody's going to see it, because... Hey, you might not be a cute crier. I am not a cute crier.
I am not a cute crier, and I'm like a very dramatic crier.
Oh, there's like hyperventilating involved?
Like heaving.
Yeah, heaving. That's what it is.
Like very I'm like a Kim Kardashian crier, I think.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Just like
I know exactly that image, like, say less. Like, I know exactly what that means. So I want to go back to the first kiss. So, Lanice.
Yes.
I did not realize.
Me either.
So Bachelor thought that they were trailblazers. So they were like, you know what? We're going to have him kiss a black girl. That's going to be the first kiss.
The very first kiss.
Who knew? I mean, I did not watch this season, so this was my, like, first time seeing everything, but that's...
Same. I would have 12. Never assumed. I would have never assumed, and I also never would have assumed they'd be like, okay, that's good for now, and then maybe in, like, 20 years, we'll revisit the idea.
Literally, and, like maybe we'll think about it again, like, way, way, way later. Like, check that off the list. We got it.
And 42-year-old Lanice was like, it was so hot.
Yeah, she's still like gagged over it.
She was giving me major like
nostalgia,
sexual nostalgia energy.
Yeah, I was like, she's still not over this dude.
No, she did not seem to be.
But and so let's also talk about Shannon a little bit. So I love that their first. This wasn't the first one-on-one date, but their date, they were like, show up casual, and she shows up in her like bell-bottom jeans.
Bitch, that top.
And her boho, like, top. I mean, and then he's in a full-blown suit. Like, she was pissed because she was like, I thought you said dress casual. Like, she should have known that they were
gonna go. That's who I meant to talk about before, was Shannon. I named
her Rhonda. Oh, Rhonda was the one that was like crazy.
Rhonda was the very first ever to say, I'm not here to make friends.
Yes.
Rhonda is iconic in her own right, but I was trying to compliment the bell-bottom wearing Shannon.
She was the fashionista, if you will.
Yes, the mall fashionista.
The mall fashionista. But so watching Shannon and Alex's interactions, I'm not going to lie, Alex is kind of a creep.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, this was, you know, 2002, so people at the time weren't, like, calling that shit out as much. But it would not have flown in a season today.
No, like, she doesn't want to kiss on the first date. That's cool. Like, and there were, like, she didn't want to, she felt uncomfortable getting naked and, or not naked in the hot tub, but, like, wearing her swimsuit in the hot tub. But he was very much focused on the sexual aspect of all of this. And that's, which made me think, I wonder if that's why he picked Amanda, who at the very beginning was talking about how she tries all of these different, you know, sexual things, and how she had like a trapeze in her.
Oh yeah, that was so bizarre.
So in my head, I'm like, okay, so obviously he's picking Amanda because he wants to like have kinky sex.
He wants to have weird trapeze sex. Okay, how big is your bedroom that you can have trapeze in your bedroom?
So yeah, some of the stuff that he was like saying, I wonder if part of it, I mean, I'm not saying that this is the reason, but maybe she was feeling uncomfortable with like,
I think that was exactly the reason, and I think that right. Shannon knew that was the reason, and that's why she was so mad with the handshake when she was leaving.
The handshake, literally, he goes, he was so cold about sending her home. He's one of those guys that doesn't know how to deliver the bad news, like we talked about with Caitlin Bristow.
Oh yeah,
how to take bad news and how to deliver bad news. But he was like half smiling when he sent her home and was like, thanks for being here, you're amazing. They shake hands.
Yeah, he's like, thanks bro.
And then she comes back and was like, okay, but I just like want to know why. And then he was going around the whole fact of like, I don't know, some bullshit creepy guy excuse. And then she literally goes, okay, have fun, and literally like waves and then walks away. It was so awkward and weird.
It was really awkward and weird. Also, the way he told Trista was so like matter of
cold
fact.
Yeah, like he was like, I just don't, I think this is what's best for you. I mean, this guy, he was, I mean, cold about it.
He was like, Amanda like puts out and likes kinkier shit.
Yeah, Amanda and I literally just like poured ice cream and syrup on each other, and we were taking pictures naked in our hotel room, so this isn't gonna work. I mean, he had not just told her the night before
that she was the one. That was also, I like Trista.
I love her. I think Trista is great. I wish I would have, known how much I would have liked Trista before, because she's so fun. She has a great personality. No wonder everybody liked her.
Yeah. And she's another one who looks 10 times better now than she did on the show.
Oh yeah.
She looked gorge now.
Gorge. But she's super fun. And then, but he sent her home and she was so mature about it and was just like, okay, you know, whatever, like this sucks. But she was very, I mean, no wonder.
And it was before the days too of when like now you can see in certain people when they're getting sent home, that the idea of being bachelor or a bachelorette is like in their head, or the idea of getting on Paradise or like things like that. So sometimes I feel like they say things to try and like,
oh yeah, to make you feel bad for them so you can go get another chance.
It's like how, and I'm using this example, but I don't think it's what she was doing. But when Jubilee said it, it's like what Jubilee said was like perfect to try and get on Paradise or be Bachelorette.
She was unlovable.
Like, I just feel like the most unlovable person in the world right now. And I don't think Jubilee was trying to do that, but like, I think people have tried using lines like that. If yes. that makes sense.
Exactly. No, I totally hear that. And Trista was just like, well, I mean, I'm going to get over it. Like, my life's going to go on.
Yeah.
Whatever.
This was also when she was like, I don't even know if this show is going to be on anything. Like,
imagine.
That's what I'm like. Was ABC not involved? Was this like a production company that then sold the show to ABC?
Right. It's like, where? What do you mean?
I mean, maybe that is the case, but it's like, it was very interesting to see.
And then, so he picks Amanda, and they don't stay together for that long because, first of all, there was no proposal. There was no proposal in the first season of The Bachelor. And he basically was just like, I want you to move to California. And I guess she was like, I was getting deals with Playboy.
Oh, yeah. She said she turned down Playboy. And I was like, you have been waiting to tell someone that for a long time, honey.
And it's funny to listen to the women that were on the first season that they brought back to do like these interviews and stuff with Chris now.
Yeah.
And she's like, yes, all the girls like that my kid goes to school with, like their moms are huge fans of the show. And it's like, she's like, because she has a famous mom, blah, 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 like hyping her. Like, she is never letting this go.
I'm like, kids, fans of the show are like
old.
No, if like, it's just, I don't know that many people know the contestants from that long ago.
Right. It's probably just the moms.
Yeah.
And that's it. But they're not telling their kids like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, no, totally not. Okay. Even like the Real Housewives, their kids like go to school and people don't know that their moms are Real Housewives. So I'm like,
right. Wait, is that really a thing?
I think so, for sure.
I mean, I'm sure not everybody knows that, like...
Like, there's kid, like, the kids, a lot of the Real Housewives will be, like, the kids are, like, embarrassed of their mom, and I'm, like,
yeah.
If only they knew. And, like, then the moms will be, like, ever since I have, like, 3 million Instagram followers, they think I'm, like, a little bit more cool now. Like, it's so weird.
No. But they ended up breaking up, and, which I saw from the beginning, he was just in it. I honestly think he was just a low-key creep.
Yeah, to get laid.
I'm going
to
say it. To get laid.
He was just in it for the sexual escapades, some might say.
Exactly. But they bring on, they do another interview when they bring on Nicole and Demi to break down some fashion. And my favorite one was when Nicole was like, they showed Chris, which I think we should have had more Chris. Like, I didn't need all these random outfits from the different people. But Nicole was like, I'm not sure if you're trying to help me fall in love or help me buy a Toyota Camry. And I was like crying.
Yeah. Nicole was so funny.
Nicole is so funny. So funny. Her captions and stuff. She's a great copywriter.
Is that what she does for a living?
I know she, like, she's a writer in general. Like, she's a journalist, but she just writes the funniest, like, captions and stuff. I mean, she's so funny.
Yeah, no, she was great. And the Chris outfits were...
Very
Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah. He even made a comment. He was like, I feel like tailors didn't exist back in 2002, but like, honestly, did they?
And it's like, the budget wasn't there, honey. That's what didn't exist.
The budget was not there. Now we have like Chris coming on in like bomber jackets.
It's like, well, it's also because money makes people so much hotter. And like, when I say that,
yes.
I mean, like, for example, I always somehow end up bringing up Drag Race, but when they come back for the All-Star seasons, they all look like they've all gotten lip injections. They've all gotten like whatever insecurities they had are gone because they've all gotten like money now and can get the plastic surgery that they want.
Exactly. Okay, so let's hop over to the next half, where Trista becomes the Bachelorette, and honestly, love.
Wait, can we talk about how Alex is like
just MIA.
MIA. Nobody knows where he is.
Why? Maybe he knew how much of a creep he was on the show and was like, maybe I don't come back. And
yeah, maybe he's like embarrassed by it. But also it was weird and annoying to me that they kept being like, let's see it. If we can get him. Like, you didn't know before you recorded that, like, don't act. Like, why would you do that?
Well, I mean, it's the same thing that they did with, like, with Cassie, which we'll get into later.
Yeah.
Nothing happens.
I'm like, stop clickbaiting me on a TV show.
Clickbait. I mean, they have to, if it's 3 hours long, I feel like they have to.
And I'm like, who told you to make it 3 hours? Nobody's making you do this.
No. First of all, so these guys all show up and the amount of hair gel, I mean, it just looks greasy. Like, the whole thing, it just looks greasy.
It was before good hair gel days existed.
The big, like, a bunch of, like, clunky guys with hair gel in big suits.
And Ryan's hair was tragic. I mean,
it Ryan was looked like
Frankenstein.
Jim from The Office. Where's the lie?
It was Jim from the, yeah, but less cute.
But less hair.
It was weird. The hair was a travesty.
All of it, just so much slicked back. I was like, all of these guys are busted.
And it's like, you know, we have to blame the times. And I guess the fact that none of the producers were like, hey guys, so on camera, it looks really greasy.
On camera, you guys look like shit. We need to like update everything.
But thank God. Thank God times have changed for that purpose.
Right. So, they did their first group date again in Vegas. So I feel like Vegas is like the big excursion, because they do like planes and stuff, but that's like,
yeah, it's and Vegas was probably cheaper too. And it's like known, I think like the party atmosphere of Vegas is very like,
right, sexy. Flashy. Yeah, sexy, flashy. And I loved watching her like at the gambling tables with the guys and whatnot. And then I think I'm like, God, I would thrive in the bachelorette situation, even though
You would. Do you know that I was thinking about that this morning? I was literally like, it's such a shame that like now you have to be on
the show
to become a bachelorette. Because I'm like, hey, it would be such a fun bachelorette.
I mean, the feeling is virtual.
I know,
but
obviously that, but also
we would have the best time. But then I,
because I'm like, the bitch would get down. It would be like such a great season.
But the thing is that I get along with guys so well and would have like that fun that I instinctively friend zone myself with them. I mean, that's how it is. Like every time everyone's like, oh my God, have you dated one of the Bachelor guys? I'm like, no, because I've miraculously friend zoned myself every single, like we're bros.
No, I've gotten DMs that are like, so has Kay actually never hooked up with anybody?
And then they're like, so who have you hooked up with?
Oh my God. Yeah. You guys, God bless you. But I have not hooked up with anybody from Bachelor Nation. I know I said it and the feeling is virtual. Unfortunately for me, that was just a joke. But the DMs asking me who I've hooked up with in Bachelor Nation, I wish I could give you an answer, but unfortunately, it is not true.
When you sent me some of the screenshots of the DMs, I was crying in laughter. I was like, I'm like thinking, maybe we just like start making things up.
No, literally, I wanted to be like, who haven't I hooked up with from Bachelor Nation?
The list would be shorter.
I wish. So if anybody from Bachelor Nation's listening, I'm ready and willing.
Down. He's been social distancing this whole time. He is safe.
I'm ready.
He's corona free and he's ready.
I'm getting a COVID test today just to be safe. Okay. So I'll let you know when you slide into my DMs.
Exactly. Okay. So we have to go back to Greg. So Greg was a guy on Trista's season and he lives in New York City. And
That was the most depressing thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
She went to his apartment. And let me just tell you guys, there are apartments in New York City that are trash. Like, I get it. But that...
was also the apartment of, like, a hoarder.
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't even get to, like, his sink.
Did he not know that she was coming?
I don't know, because obviously they didn't get into, like, details, but they walk in the door, and it's literally just a room, which I've seen plenty of studios, but it is not that small. And she was like, so was there a door for the bed? And he goes, oh, no, this is the bed. And it's, like, 2 feet away from the sink and his, like, bike that's, like, laid up against the sink and, like, the couch that's, like, falling apart. I was like, holy shit.
And he literally probably was paying, like, $2,200 a month for that apartment.
I am unwell looking at. I was like, oh, my God, he just fucked himself over just by taking him. We should have not looked at the apartment.
You should have gotten an Airbnb.
anything, borrowed your friend's apartment for the episode and then later bamboozled her and been like, just kidding, yes. This is my place.
Listen, everyone needs that rich friend that you are like, hey, listen, I need to pretend like your apartment's mine for this video conference. This is what he should have done.
Because that, and she was like, I'm not trying to be, what was it, like, shallow or
judgmental.
Yeah, but she was like, but I cannot live like this. I was like, hell no, girl, I would have gotten the fuck up. She didn't even want wine. She was like, just water's fine.
She was like, I don't want anything from inside of this apartment.
It was really, really bad. In the middle of this season, they bring Cassie back. And Chris interviews Cassie and has been teasing this the whole time about this is the first time Cassie or Colton have spoken about their breakup to the public, blah, blah, blah. And I'm telling you, she told us nothing, which is fine. It's obviously it's their business. But the fact that they were teasing it so much to the point that, like, oh yeah, we're gonna figure out what actually happened, because it was like, oh well, it's a really sensitive subject, but she didn't tell us anything except, like, we're still friends, that's it.
It was really stupid. I didn't understand why.
I think Chris was mad.
I also felt like that. I also bet Cassie was like, I'll do it, but I'm not saying anything. And then she stuck to her guns and Chris didn't plan on that.
Slid out of her and was like, you know, you don't want to upset Colton, we get it, but like, what? And like, was, yeah, trying to pry it out of her, and it did not work. She told us nothing.
She also seemed like sad. Like, I felt kind of bad for her.
Of course. I mean, she went through a very public breakup, and I don't think they, I mean, I obviously do not know, but I don't think they hated each other. And
it made me think that, like, she wasn't the one that did the breaking up.
Yeah. I know.
So we
still don't know anything about Cassie and Colton's breakup. But I don't know when or if we will.
Yeah, it was. I felt bad for her. She looks great.
She looks great. Duh.
Always does.
Well, she went dark on social media for like a whole month.
Oh, really? Probably because she was been sad.
Mm-hmm.
Poor little thing.
Okay, so back at it. Charlie, who ends up making it to the last two, but he's giving me like Luke P vibes, where he's like, you know, I would feel betrayed if you ended up sleeping with someone else. And she's like, well, I don't know. Like, she was like, I don't want you to feel like I'm cheating on you or this or that. This is just like what it is.
Yeah. I'm like, that's how I would feel. And that's why I could never be on the show. Cause I know I'm a jealous ass hoe.
Right.
So that's on him. It was like, he hadn't seen the show before. Or he thought because she was a girl, it would be different.
Right.
which is fucked up.
Which is also fucked up. But she ends up picking Ryan. And when Charlie came on to, because you know how usually they have like the guy go through the whole, like, you're the most amazing person I've ever met. Like, I can see this and that with you. And then the girl stops him at the end of it. She did not make him say any of it. She brought him up and was just like, hey, bro, like, you are amazing. She was sad because she really did like care for him. But
yeah. Also, sorry, you keep
going. Go ahead. No.
I was just going to say, when they go to his interview, his kitchen is fucking astounding.
Oh, yeah.
I, like, could not get over it. I literally rewound his interview to keep looking at his kitchen.
The kitchen. And he had, like, but he also does not look like the same person at all.
No. He looks like a person that has two kitchen islands now.
Two kitchen islands.
I'm like.
Goals.
God bless.
God bless. But I love that we ended up getting to see Trista and Ryan. They've been together for 18 years.
18 I know. Years. And she looks great.
Ryan has aged a bit. Yeah, but she looks
great. And that's all I have to say on that.
And that's all I'm going to say on that. And they have like those two kids. The girl is so cute. The little boy did not want to be a part of this.
Oh, no. But also, it must be so bizarre. Like, they don't know what the bat, like, that I'm sure they don't understand that their parents were like, or they don't care.
Icons.
Yeah, right?
They have no idea. But yeah, the little boy was like, did not care that his dad was on Zoom, did not care about any of that. He was just like, all right, hi. Can we go now? Is this over? Which is much like Joshua Harrison, Chris Harrison's son, I feel like.
Oh my God.
Every time he pans to him at the beginning of the episode, he's like the cameraman, like waving, like, why the fuck?
I
want
to know
here?
How much he's getting paid to do that.
He's definitely getting paid.
Oh, he's definitely getting paid and heavily. I'm sure by his father, but like,
regardless.
I'm just jealous.
Just simply jealous.
I'm so jealous of nepotism.
So next week, they're not going to be back. Chris Harrison said 2 weeks, but they're going to be doing Brad Womack season. Both, I think. Both seasons.
Wait, yeah. He
was on it twice.
That's what I don't understand.
Hilarious that they were able to bring Brad Womack back to have him be the bachelor twice, but still couldn't find a black guy.
Oy vey.
So I'm excited to see this, these two seasons, because I don't know anything about him, but he was really hot in the first season, at least.
Yeah. I didn't watch his season either. So it'll be
exciting. It'll be a good one. So in 2 weeks, we'll be doing that. Next week, we'll be back with another episode. We will keep you informed on what we're going to be talking about. But make sure, again, you are following us on Instagram at The Bachelor and on Twitter at Bachelor Pod. Make sure you're rating, reviewing, and subscribing as well on iTunes or wherever you're listening. So until then, we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Betches.